Welcome back to the Barca Breakdown Podcast. Yus, it has been exactly 1 year, March 7th, 2020, since we last recorded a podcast. Can you believe that?
Honestly, when you said that to me today, when we were planning on doing the podcast, I was honestly baffled. What a fate.
What a sign, right? Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. The last year for us Barca fans didn't happen, right? So, you know, we take away Bayern Munich. We take away losing the Clasico 3-1. We take away even the Supercopa in January. And we emerge from it, Yus. And, hey, I'm not going to say Ronald Koeman is the best coach of all time, but we're 3 points back in La Liga with Atletico having a game in hand. We just beat Sevilla twice this week.
Incredible comeback.
Yeah, in the Copa del Rey. We're making a final, boys. We might have a chance to win a title. You know, Champions League, not looking good. Neymar is still out, I think, for the second leg that's coming up this Wednesday or Tuesday. But, yeah, I mean, basically a year ago, as we all know, March 7th was right when COVID hit. It's right when, you know, all of the Barca games were suspended. And then Yus and I wanted to come back and record some podcasts, but
I just don't think it was the right time.
Yeah, we were still living in a hole from that Bayern defeat. 8-2.
Imagine all the jokes that came in and we were ready.
We just avoided it. It was easy. It was easy. We just slept through the pain of the 8-2. You ate to see it, you know, all of those stupid jokes. Then we had Big Daddy Koeman come in. And, you know, it's been an incredible year. Like, Koeman had a rough time to begin the season, right? Like,
100%.
We lose the Clasico. We do pretty well in the Champions League group stage, but, you know, we lose a Clasico, we lose against Atletico. Suarez, I mean, hey, we're still mad that we gave away Suarez to a direct competitor. Like, hey, selling Luis Suarez, great idea, right? You can go back and listen to our pods before.
How many times do we just get upset?
Yeah,
that
just
he fumbled?
Get very upset. On a club legend, Luis Suarez, okay, give him credit where it's due, but definitely was the right move to get rid of him. Getting rid of him to our direct rival who might win the league because of it. Very stupid idea. But, you know, even besides the way last year ended and us losing league, Copa, and Champions League, and then giving away Suarez, we were in a dark place, you know? I mean, even though Koeman has turned out to be pretty great at elevating some youth, and I think that's basically, you know, the biggest thing we're going to talk about is that a year from now, right, when we were playing, I think we won against Sociedad 1-0, we were playing Semedo, we were playing Rakitic. We were playing.
We're still playing Boosie, but
true.
We were playing Boosie then too.
But you know, even the subs that came on, we had Vidal. We were putting on Firpo. You know, we had a way different team than the one we see now. Whereas, like, you know, basically all of last year, I was pretty worried that our team was getting older. We didn't have a lot of prospects for the future. I mean, now we look at. You know, every other week when one of these wonder kids like Elish is scoring goals,
100%.
We got Pedri, we got Frankie who's still young, Dembele's only 23, we got Araujo, we got Mingueza. You know, Mingueza's been popping off lately. I know anyone who's listening to this podcast right now is loving Mingueza just like we are. And so, you know, we got to give kudos to Koeman, even though we came from a dark place and, you know, we didn't even... I'm going on a little rant here, but we didn't even talk about the biggest thing to happen, which was that Messi tried to leave.
100%.
You know? We're so far past that moment when we were so worried. And, hey, he still might leave. But, honestly, everyone has seen the clips of Messi celebrating that PK goal to take us to extra time against Sevilla and how happy he was. And then seeing him run and hug Elish yesterday after the goal. Like, there are some good signs here. One, that Barca is going to have a future beyond Messi, which – you know, even though it seems like, oh, we're such a big club and we have such a strong history of being a very good club, like, of course, we're going to have a life beyond Messi. I mean, hey, a year ago, we wouldn't have really thought that that was the truest statement, right? We thought we would need to get, like, Haaland and all these other players. Now, even though we still want them, there is a core youth here that's being developed that we're really proud of, and you couldn't say that for the last three to 4 years.
I think, truly, when Koeman came in and, you know, getting rid of Suarez was huge, right? We were kind of, he forced us to make hard decisions that we didn't want to make as a club, right? We got rid of some older players. We got, like you're saying, all these brand new young players. Three of our players, I think, are 18 years old.
Yeah, that's crazy. Huge. And you know, we haven't had Fotsy all, like, well, true, a lot of the year,
injury,
right? He's who's, you know, probably without a doubt our best young player. Pedri comes in, does really well. You have homegrown talents like Mingueza and Aleix just killing it. I mean, it's pretty magical. And it's, now, how did we get to Koeman, right? Because, like, last time we had a podcast, we had Setien. I mean, that whole situation and how he came in for a few months and, like, it was really bizarre. But, you know, you got to give Koeman credit.
He had a rough start, but, I mean, granted.
Who wouldn't? Yeah. Right? Like, when he took over the team, we were old and slow and
decrepit.
Yeah.
We just looked terrible. Our form was terrible. We were just letting people. We had holes in our defense constantly. And in the recent games, I would say our defense has shown a lot more resilience, especially with Mingueza. A lot of people digging him, doing a great job.
Well, that's kind of the big thing that Koeman did to defeat Sevilla both times.
True.
Is he went to that 3-5-2, you know, gave us a little bit of ability to go more wide with Dest. We haven't mentioned Dest yet in American. We should probably give him a shout out. But, you know, Dest and Alba going forward. And then I feel like with the 3-5-2 also, it gives Busquets a little bit less pressure to be like the last man of defense and have to worry about his pace. And it's kind of freed him to be better than he was, like, you know, the first half of the
for
season
sure.
when we know we weren't definitely big fans.
I mean, our offense itself has also grown. More open pockets in our passing. Our wings, I'm going to say that's one of my happiest moments recently is our wings have looked a lot better. With Dest, I think he's doing a great job on the side. He's very, very forward-minded, looking to make, you know, space on the field. And then I'm surprised, and I'm very surprised to say this, but Alba is doing a lot better on the left side. As we saw in our last game against Osasuna, he scored the first opening goal of the game.
And
very
against,
great pass.
Against Sevilla, he almost had in the Copa, he almost had like a jumping volley goal that was pretty sick.
For
sure. I mean, Dest has been good. You know, I think Acuna kind of stomped on him a few times during the Copa game. But, hey, there's another guy, too, we got to shout out. I mean, we're shouting out everyone, guys. The reason why the podcast is back is partially because, like, what a great time to be a Barca fan. But I think one thing that really needs to be said is Dembouz is back and healthy, right? I mean, you know, everyone, knock on wood, knock on whatever, is going to keep him safe and healthy. But he's looking good. And he scored the first goal against Sevilla on the weekend in La Liga, which is a big game because they were fourth. He scored that goal, you know, beautiful pass from Messi, and he had a one-on-one, and he put it away. And then, you know, in the Copa, he comes out in the first 10 minutes, and he takes three shots from nearly outside of the box or outside of the box and skies him. And I'm just like, oh, man, Dembouz, you can't be taking these shots if you're not going to hit it on goal. And then, like, 2 minutes later, he, again, scores the first goal. And so, you know, Dembouz gives us, along with Pedri and along with, you know, Mingueza, Dest, some of these younger players. I mean, it didn't take a rocket scientist because we were all saying that last 3 years, basically, especially under Valverde. Like, hey, we're just too slow. You know, we came up against Liverpool and they just ran past us in that second leg. We came against Bayern and Bayern, you know, hey, they were the best team in the world last year. And even this team, if we played them again, we'd probably lose because they're that good. But we were just getting run around.
100%.
Finally, you know, Dembele being healthy, it's like you're saying, is he gives us that speed and those options to hit on the break and to, you know, get one-on-ones with the goalie. Like, that's something I noticed in the last few years is, like, there were so few times where we had someone one-on-one with the goalie. And, you know, especially those of us who were really into Barca during, like, the 14-15 treble season, you know, there was always counterattacks. There was always speed. And then under Valverde, we kind of lost that. And, you know, we gained some things, I think, in terms of, like, defensive formation, maybe. But at the end of Valverde's term, everything just got so stale and slow. And finally, it feels like, hey, there's like a new horizon.
Oh, it's wonderful. And when you talk about how many times in previous podcasts we had talked about, oh, we still have this Ferrari in the garage, Dembouz. And the fact that, you know, he's healthy, one, and he's showing that he, you know, he's showing his potential to help us come back. And another thing I wanted to touch on was how much we were playing Griezmann last year and how many times we were like, ugh, Griezmann missed again, or why, you know, how is this high of a caliber player coming into our team and just not doing so hot? He's already done better this season, but we have
Especially seen a lot less play.
Yes.
And you're totally right, dude. Definitely during The last few games, Griezmann has been benched because in the 3-5-2, Griezmann, if he's playing with Messi, they basically do have the same sort of role.
Sure.
And so he doesn't function that well. But, you know, that's another part that's cool about Koeman is, like, he's
willing to make those decisions.
Well, and he can. He's a Barca legend, right?
True.
He scored the goal at Wembley in 92. He won us our first ever, you know, essentially Champions League. And so he's a club legend and has that big personality that I feel like can, you know, stand toe-to-toe with other players who might, you know, there was this narrative going on, right? And this is, you know, we're getting partially into the Barcagate scandal and, you know, there's an election today we haven't really talked about either. But, you know, part of the narrative definitely during Valverde and Setien's time was that, like, the players in the dressing room were deciding who was playing and all sorts of madness like that. And, you know, Koeman comes in and it just seems like he has a very, like, I don't kind of want to say cutthroat, but he's able to bench players who he doesn't think are performing well. And that's something we need, right? Like, it felt like too many times Valverde and Setien, like, played Griezmann no matter what because they felt like they had to. And it seems like Koeman is being, you know, much more careful with his approach and figuring out what squad needs to be played against what opponent.
Well, he is actually using strategy to pick up his lineups. How many times in the past did we talk about Valverde and Setien saying, like, we saw this lineup last week and it didn't perform very well? Or we saw this lineup last week and it did very well, but this is a different team we're playing against. Like, if you think about going up against Atleti, who played today against Real Madrid, they have a completely different play style, right? Like, they're very defensive-minded, and, like, you can't just go in there and just play the same play card or playbook as you do every game, because they're going to figure out. Coaches that actually care and actually pay attention, like, I think Koeman saw the downfall of Barca in the last, like, 2-3 years with Valverde and Setien, and he's just like, look, I don't want this to happen anymore. I'm going to come in. He had a rough time, but I think he's figured it out with the new players and the young players, and I think he has a rotation. That's my biggest thing, and that's the biggest thing we've talked about in our lineups, was rotating players, right? Like, a lot of players weren't getting the rest time they needed. We looked at how many times Suarez was underperforming and being played every game. We looked at Griezmann in the same situation. We looked at games where Messi should not have been played in smaller games when we should have given younger players a chance. I mean, sure, we saw Puig play a couple times, even though Koeman hasn't utilized
Pooch.
Him as much. Or Pooch, yeah.
By the way, I mean, speaking of that, I feel like Messi probably shouldn't have played a full 90 against Osasuna. But I think, you know, I think part of that goes into the discussion, which is like, hey, we're probably almost certainly not going to come back against PSG. And, like, we need to put our priority on the Champions League and the Copa, which we did. And, you know, even if we can get away with I just want to beat PSG, not necessarily go through. You know, like, I think, you know,
show that we have the capability.
Expecting us to score 4 and not allow a goal is too much. But hey, if we can win 2-1, you know, 1-0, 3-1, something like that, I'll be pretty satisfied.
I mean, it won't be like the comeback they had in previous years. But I mean, if you think about it, think about the beginning of this year and think about what we've come back from, right? We were well past fifth place at one point. We were down 11 points at one point. We're, like you said earlier, we're 3 points down, Atleti has 1 game ahead, and we're looking good. I mean, today was the first time we've ever rooted for Real Madrid, but we needed that, you know, either draw or loss for Atleti to have a chance here. We still have huge games coming up. Real Sociedad's going to be huge. We have the El Clasico coming up. Who else do we have is huge? We actually play Atleti about a month from Madrid. So we have Celta Vigo near the end of our trial. So it's not going to be a smooth sail from here. And that's the big thing to remember, that we're still coming into form, I think. And we're still kind of figuring everything out. And I think we have great potential, which is something I don't think we said in the last 2 years.
No, definitely not. And, you know, we're Barca homers, right? Like, I think we're going to win everything. We're going to win every game we play this season. So, you know, that's a bad mindset to have. And that's why, you know, we were let down so much in the last few years. And I think part of the reason the team is doing so well and the youngsters are playing so well is that, like, the pressure of Barca's going to win the treble. That was the narrative the last 7 years from fans, it felt like, you know, everyone
for
thought
sure
we were going to win all 3 titles. And hey, do I wish we would have done more with Lionel Messi in the Champions League in the last decade, of course, right? Everyone wishes that. Unfortunately, we are where we are now, and so I think it's kind of been a godsend in a way that we aren't not expected to be these huge winners, that we were down by 11 in the league, because I think it kind of took some pressure off younger players and allowed them to just go out there and play their hearts out without like thinking that, oh my God, this could be the game mm-hmm. that, you know, decides or wins.
We were already put in the hole.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't really matter what was going to happen next because we underperformed. And I just think that our outlook now is much better. But getting into, I wanted to talk about Bart, and finally Bart kicked out. Yeah, Barcagate. What a scummy turn of events, right? Remember how many reports came out talking trash on our players and all this other stuff?
Even Messi's contract leaked in January or February this year. It's like not all of this stuff is, you know, long ago history.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, essentially, right, what they were doing is they were paying media groups to slander journalists and players.
I don't understand why really this happened, especially when you're coming from a position. I mean, part of it, he was hiding the payments to these companies as well, right?
Which he got in trouble for the cover-up.
Yes.
There's not necessarily an issue with, like, hiring a media firm to slander players or...
But he was hiding it.
Yeah.
And you have to have approval for, you know, spending in certain areas. But just, like, why would you do that to, you know, some of the best players that you've ever paid for? And leaking that contract is ridiculous. You're just putting yourself in a bad position. You're making yourself look bad. You're making the whole organization look bad.
Well, I mean, you know, I think it fits into the narrative that we had all built around Bartomeu and the board in the last few years, which is like they didn't have any sort of idea of having like a plan to evolve the team and like to like have a concept of like what the team should be and how mm-hmm. it should fit together, right? Like, I mean, we all saw it. Like, even as much as I love Dembele and I don't love Coutinho, but as much as like I like him and I like Griezmann, like mm-hmm. all those three signings, like, if we would have spent that money to buy Mbappe or Haaland or, you know, almost any other group of players, we would have gotten farther than we have.
Well, we were buying big name players was the big thing, right? True. And not necessarily having a spot for them.
Yeah, I mean, Griezmann, like, he's starting to figure things out better. But mm-hmm. at the same time, like, you know, we need a striker, like a lone, pure number nine. Mm-hmm. Griezmann's not that guy. You know, Coutinho... At some point when we got him, I was super hyped up because we thought he could be like an Iniesta-type player, and then he came in and fell flat. Now, do I think, you know, it's kind of funny that we got Coutinho, then we sent him off to Bayern, he won
treble.
Champions League, yeah, treble, and then he came back. And I would have been interested to see how he would have performed under Koeman this year, but mm-hmm. I think his injury has also allowed Pedri to come in and
sure.
Really be like the midfielder who's like driving the ball forward. I think he needs to take a few more shots, but... I you know, the elections were today. I don't necessarily have a huge opinion about who should win. I feel like everyone I see is all behind Laporta. I think that's who a lot of people I know want to win. But
well, you said today that it was Messi's first time voting, right?
True. Yeah, I saw Lucho, Luis Enrique was out there mm-hmm. voting. I saw Busquets voting. So, you know, it seems like it's going to be one of the higher turnout elections in a long time. And hey, good. I mean, you know, the bigger implication I care about is, like, will the person who's the next president have the ability to keep Messi? Because,
true,
you know,
it's huge.
I'm, like, the biggest Messi fan ever, right? Like, my passwords to everything have Messi's name. Messi's almost always my phone background. I want to get a Messi tattoo, yada, 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 right? I love Lionel Messi. And, you know, there's a lot of people talking, especially at the beginning of this season when Messi was having a little bit of a rough patch, which he was, even though now he's come back and just playing really well. People were saying, like, hey, you know what, maybe it's best for both sides if we sell Messi, get the money, buy some new players, and it'll be good for him to go to a team that could win the Champions League. And now I feel like the narrative's kind of switched. It's like everyone's like, whoa, this team has the potential to be really good soon if we can get another striker, and let's keep Messi. We don't want to see him leave. I mean, dude, it's Lionel Messi. Of course none of us want to see him leave. Even though I think a lot of people were alluding to it earlier in the season. And so I'm just hoping the next president is able to retain him.
Well, there's big decisions to be made, right? Like, one of his best friends moved out. Then there was the whole Bartomeu scam. We were losing everything. No teamwork, no communication. I mean, why would you want to stay, right? And if you think about it, when Messi was talking about leaving this past year and the whole contract debacle in terms of, you know, saying he wants to leave, and they're like, if you leave, we're going to sue you and all that kind of stuff, like, I, as a person, if I were in that kind of organization, you've done so much for the team, and then they're going to I mean, I know why they did it, but at the same time, it puts a little sour taste in your mouth, you know?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, it's just so hard to, like, obviously we're huge fans, and we watch every game, and we spend money to support the club. I've been to the Camp Nou. We're going to go, hopefully, sometime in the next year or two.
Hopefully when Messi's still there.
It's hard to understand how much he must love, and he does love the club, right? Like, mm-hmm. they were the ones to get him to move from Argentina as a young man, a young kid, and he's been there his whole life. And so, you know, he loves the club more than anyone. And so, you know, it must pain him to want to leave, but I have a feeling, I don't know, if you had to bet today, is Lionel Messi going to play with us next year?
Ooh, I don't know, dude. In my head, we've been doing really good, a lot better. I think he has a connection with some of these newer, younger players, and I'm really digging it, like with Dembouz and Elish. Do I bet that he'll be here next year? Ooh, he's got to be, man. Maybe,
yeah, I think so too, man. I'm putting money down on it. I think Messi's going to stay.
For sure. I think the cards have been played to flip the situation around. I think a year ago, I would have said no.
Oh, I would have said no way.
Yeah, yeah. But now I'm going to say, yeah, Koeman looks more confident. I think that in itself is very good.
And I'm not like one of these like Twitter trolls. Like, you know, we talked about it. Like, there's so many people out there on Twitter and other social media who like are just constantly trying to make like narratives for Messi to like, you know, get at Ronaldo fans
Fake
on
news.
Twitter and stuff. Yeah, well, I mean, real, but also just like trolls, right? And so, sure. like, I'm not someone who's sitting there like, oh my God, it's going to be a new level of Messi's like legacy that he built in this like future team. But I do think like like the way he smiles at Elish and, you know, Dembouz and the way he seems happy with these youthful players and like seeing them grow, I do think he values that a lot. And, you know, I just think his heart's going to stay here. And I hope whoever the next president is, like, you know, we're in financial ruin, something we also haven't talked about, but it's kind of a whole tricky situation. But, you know, if we can get Haaland, imagine if we got him to come over, right? Like, imagine if we get a striker. Like, this team could be really good for the next few years if we can just, you know, maybe we need to get a replacement for Jordi Alba, who, though he's having, like, a resurgence this season, isn't getting any younger. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to, you know, fully transition Busquets out of a starting role.
100%.
But if, you know, if we can make some of these changes and a new president comes in with a new energy and a new concept for the team and, you know, puts money behind it that we have to find from somewhere, you know, we could be in a really good spot.
Well, we can sell people. And, I mean, think of how many bad purchases we've made and how many sales we've made in the last 2-3 years. The board just needs to be more organized, I think, it's a big thing. Will they be more organized? Who knows? We'll see what comes in, but I think after all this discussion that we've had in this podcast so far, about 20 minutes or so, things are looking good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited for once watching Barca in the last 2 years. I think we had so much false hope, and I think this year, I'm not saying it's going to be perfect, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah, we could still win zero titles.
Yeah,
very
100%.
Easily.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're struggling right now just to catch up because we're behind.
Yeah.
And but not to mention PSG. But
that's kind of what you're trying to, I think what you're trying to say, and I agree, is like, even if we win zero titles, just the progress we've made this year has been very fulfilling.
For sure.
And, you know, some people will be like, oh my God, that's such a loser mindset. You can't have that as Barcelona, like all this BS. It's like, hey, you got to deal with the cards that are dealt, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do I wish we would have never bought Coutinho and spent it on someone else? Yes. Like, there's so many different hypotheticals you can make and talk about, and like, you can be like, oh, this season's a disaster because we're not winning trophies. If we have that mindset, we're going to lose. But like, hey, we are where we are right now, and things are looking better, and the progress we've made in terms of youth is something that I'm very happy about. Next question, Yuse, maybe my last question of this podcast. Do you think Koeman's going to stay? Like, do you think the new president is going to want to hire their own coach and get rid of him? Or do you think the performances and the narrative of this season and how it's gone on is going to allow him to keep his job?
If I was the new president, just, I would think it would be so bad for the team to do that. One, which means my answer is Koeman will stay. But once there's a form of stability that I feel like we're getting into, and a form of, I would say, different avenues of success from where we were, I think it would be detrimental to the team if we had forced us to get a new manager. Because if you think about if you think about Valverde and then Setien and all the changes that were happening, it just causes more chaos and causes more confusion, and it doesn't promote unity in a sense, right? If you keep changing the manager out and like having lack of faith within them and not trying to think like we can do this, I think it's very negative. And so I think Koeman under the new management or president would stay or board. Yeah, I don't really have a doubt about that.
Good, me too. I think Koeman should stay. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the point of like, what first thing is like, he's a club legend. I feel like when he's had the season he's had and we've come back from what looked like a dark spot, to not give him the faith to at least have a few more seasons to mm-hmm. try, I think we got to. The other thing is like, what other coaching options are out there? I know a lot of people will say Xavi, but like, I feel like Xavi is always there. He's not old. He has a lot of time to learn more.
Sure.
And so, you know, if we don't go with Xavi this season or next season or the season after, we can go with him 3 years from now. And I don't think like there will be love lost about that. And then besides Xavi, like, you know, there's only two coaches in the world who I would consider at this moment like elite, right? It's Pep and it's Klopp. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a great feeling that either of them are going to leave the situations they're in. And so, you know, who are we going to get? Like, right, Pochettino's already taken up by PSG. We're not going to get Mourinho, right? We hate that guy. so like, there's not that many big names and opportunities out there, I feel like, to get a new coach. And so, you know, you're basically, I think, the talk comes down to, do you want to get Xavi now or later? And there's no point for me to take Xavi now and get rid of Koeman.
Well, think of what happened last time when we signed someone who wasn't as high of a caliber of a coach, Setien. Right? Setien, yeah, just kind of came in, and then we're like, oh, we'll see how this goes. And
we saw how that
yeah.
went.
Here we are today. But I think, you know, like we were saying, I think this is a positive outlook on everything. I'm happy that we're back, right? We want to provide, you know, the latest coverage on the team. Hopefully it all goes well. But Adam, this was a pleasure. You know, I'm really happy to be back. I'll tell you that.
You're welcome. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it was definitely fun. We're glad to be back. I think, you know, we're going to try, and it's not like we ever lost the passion to do this or like True. The fun, right? I mean, like, hey, you know, Yus and I have jobs. We have like mm-hmm. Fulfilling lives with other things going on. So, you know, this is really just a hobby we do because, hey, like, even when we weren't doing this podcast, we were talking and watching Barca as much, if not more, because we've been hyped the last few months than we did, you know, when we were doing it before. So, you know, let us know. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Barca Breakdown.
Plug.
Yeah, let us know if there's anything you guys want us to include. I mean, I think we need to become a little bit more analytical on the podcast. I think there's some fans who like that more because, you know, sometimes it can just be like general, you know, chit-chat about Barca, mm-hmm. which is fun sometimes. But I think also, you know, if we're going to try and do it after every game or once a week, we need to, you know, get a little more analytical. I think there's some merch we might make.
Adam's wearing
his
custom.
I'm currently wearing one. Yeah, for Christmas, you just got me a Barca Breakdown sweatshirt, which I'm rocking right now. It's very comfortable. So, yeah, let us know. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram. You can always message us. I run the Twitter account. Yus does the Instagram. So I know you guys all want to talk to me on Twitter, so go ahead. But Yus, loves talking with you guys, especially like international followers on Instagram.
Yes, please hit us up. I do want to say, looking forward to PSG.
Let's just get a win. Let's just get a W, right? I'm not even going to, you know, sit here and try and act like, hey, we're going to come back. We got this. You know, yeah, as much as Homer as we are, like that's not the vibe that I think is going to happen. But, hey, let's score a few goals and win the game.
Yes. Okay, guys. We're out.
Thank you all. Have a nice week. And let's see who the president is, too.
True.
Thank you. Bye-bye.